Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the IMI Interim Management Statement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a brief presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must also advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 7th of May, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker, Mark Salway. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Simon, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined on the call today by Peter Spencer and Dan Shook. Unfortunately, Roy Twite hasn't joined us this morning. His mother had a heart attack last night, so he's off. I hope you all have had an opportunity to read the interim management statement that we issued this morning. I'll kick off with a few comments, and then we'll be pleased to take any questions that you might have. As outlined in the IMS, economic and market conditions in the first quarter have continued to be quite challenging, with revenues in the 3 months to the end of March down 1% on an organic basis and down 4% on a reported basis. In the first half, we are continuing to expect lower organic revenue and margins, while performance will improve in the second half of the year. We now expect that both organic revenue and margins are likely to be slightly lower for the full year. Turning now to each of the divisions. In Critical Engineering, revenues in the first quarter were down 4% on an organic basis, and that reflects the order trends from last year. Markets are proving to be a bit more challenging than expected, and that's reflected in our order intake being down in the year to date when compared to the same period last year. In particular, some projects that we expected to book in the first quarter have been delayed, and while we continue to expect a stronger second half, if these delays continue, some projects could shift into 2016, which could, of course, impact our full-year results. To be clear, we've not experienced any significant cancellation, and looking at our end markets in critical, order intake in oil and gas has remained relatively good. The nuclear sector has been disappointing, with order intake significantly down on the same period last year. We are continuing to take actions to address the nuclear-related cost base, including the decision to close IMI Components last year. As previously outlined, critical revenues will be lower in the first half of last year, reflecting both the order intake profile last year and, of course, current market conditions. First half margins will be impacted by that lower volumes, which, as you know, results in plant under recoveries. Also, the mix of projects being shipped, and also the portfolio change compared to last year. You will recall in February, we spelled out the sale of Ely and the acquisition of Boppenreuther, and the impact that would have in margin terms. So in the second half, based on the current order book, we now expect revenues in critical to be slightly lower on an organic basis than in the second half of 2014, but I can confirm that we still expect margins to show that significant improvement on the first half of the year. Turning now to Precision Engineering, first quarter revenues were flat on an organic basis, with sales in industrial automation similar to last year, but lower growth in China, reflecting slower economic conditions in that region. In commercial vehicles, we continue to experience good growth in both North America and Europe. Conditions in Brazil, both in the truck sector and more generally, continue to deteriorate, and as a consequence, we're taking actions to address the cost base in that country. In other sectors, we've seen good growth in both life sciences and also in rail, while in oil and gas, we've continued to see weakening in the precision end of that market. So based on current market environment, particularly in China and Brazil, we're now expecting precision revenues in the first half to be broadly flat. Margins are expected to be lower, impacted by a combination of sales mix and, of course, the ongoing investments we're taking in the division. We continue to expect an improved performance in the second half, with modest organic revenue growth and margins similar to the second half of last year. So turning now to Hydronic Engineering, the division's made a good start to the year, with organic revenues up 2% in the first quarter. Peter continues to make great progress with his new product developments, and a number of new products we launched at the ISH trade show have been terrifically well received by the market and by customers. Organic revenues for the hydronic division are now expected to be slightly up in the first half of the year. Margins are expected to be slightly below last year, but we outlined that in the February announcement, reflecting the ongoing investments in their additional new products for long-term growth. And in the second half, we continue to expect good organic revenue growth. That'll benefit from the new products launched in the first half and our margins to show their normal second half seasonal improvement in the hydronics division. On the strategic front, our plans to drive sustainable long-term growth are on track. We continue to invest in manufacturing excellence and the application of lean, which is going terrifically well. The increased investment in product development is yielding benefits, particularly in the hydronics division, and the major investments in upgrading the group IT systems are going well, and I'm pleased to say that Critical went live with IFS here in Europe last night, and all reports are very positive in that regard. So we will report our progress in greater detail on all of those operational and improvement activities with our results at the end of July. So I think with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll now be happy to take any questions. So, Simon, back to you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephones and wait for your name to be announced. That's star and one on your telephones if you wish to ask a question or make a comment. And your first question comes from the line of Robert Davies. Please ask your question.
Morning, everyone. Just a couple of questions from me. First one, just getting into the trends you're seeing within the nuclear business. Can you just remind us what percentage of sales within severe service comes from nuclear, and what exactly you're doing to address the cost base you mentioned? Second one was just on some of the regional trends. I know you you called out China as weakening. I'd be interested to see what you're really seeing in terms of Europe in particular and what's going on there, and if you're seeing any slowdown in North America on the automation side of things. And then the final one was just around the full year contribution from acquisitions. If you just could confirm what your expectations are for 2015 in terms of acquisition contribution. Thanks.
For sure. Robert, three good questions. In terms of the nuclear market, it does bounce around. It's quite lumpy. Mm-hmm. We can tell you that it was off about 47% last year from the orders placed in the prior year. We've seen a very slow start to this year, and you would expect that. The enrichment process is, you know, it's post-Fukushima. There's almost no market there. And as a consequence, we took the decision to close IMI components in the UK at the back end of last year. In terms of future prospects, I can tell you that there are a number of new projects that are coming to the table in China, and we feel very comfortable, you know, that we're well positioned to take some of that as it moves forward. So it's quite lumpy. First quarter, first half is going to be down without any question significantly from even the 47% lower numbers from last year. But the second half could be quite strong for us. In terms of your second questions on regional trends, continental Europe is holding up well. It's certainly in a better place than it was in the last quarter of last year. You know, we are seeing a bit of variation from month to month. We saw a particularly strong January, quite a weak February, came back strongly in March. So again, Europe is, you know, tentatively it's going quite well for us. North America, in terms of the industrial market, commercial vehicle is doing very, very well. It's a lower margin part of the business for us, hence the impact on margins ultimately. You know, we've seen some numbers that would indicate to us that the strength of the U.S. Recovery has dropped off a wee bit. I think even the employment numbers that came out last night would show that there has been, you know, some concerns whether the U.S. has got that traction for the longer term, but we'll have to see how that plays out. China is particularly, you know, soft in comparison to where it's been the last few years. Now, precision is the high-volume piece of the Chinese market, and it's grown very, very well over the last couple of years. We've seen that slow significantly in the first quarter of 2015. But we will still see absolute revenue growth in the year in precision out of China, but it has slowed. And as I mentioned in the announcement, that Brazil's a bit of a basket case. The real, has really had a tough time coming into the year. Commercial vehicles down about 45% from even the basis that it was last year. And as a consequence of the Brazilian issue, and it most affects us in terms of precision, we've taken the decision we're going to take about 30% of our workforce out in the first half. There's been about $1.5 million profit delta in the first quarter in Brazil year to year. By taking those headcounts out, we'll end up in a cash and profit neutral position in the second half of the year. So that's a quick run through of all of the regions that are most important to us.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Nick Wilson. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, can you just pass on our thoughts to Roy, obviously, and our best wishes. Secondly, in terms of a couple of questions, if I may, on critical, it sounds like, and I don't want to put words in your own mouth, but actually it started even softer than you were expecting. So as we look into the second half, I guess, can you just reassure us in terms of the order book and then potential deliveries as we go through the second half? And then my second question on Hydronics, it looks like new products starting to make actually a decent contribution there. Can you roughly help us with the potential delta or further increase that could come through in the second half from those planned new product introductions and market acceptance? Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Nick. In terms of critical, it has started a bit softer, but it's really about, customers delaying deliveries, from 1 month to the next. The end of the day, you're aware of the order profile for that business last year. It was down 10% in the first half and up 16% in the second half of the year. That had always given us an indication that we would see an under recovery in the first half of the year with a bounce back in the second. So in order book terms, we start this year, in fact, with a stronger order book than we started at the same time last year. And our book-to-bill at this point is about 30%. That's about the same as it was this time last year. So there are a number of new opportunities, particularly in nuclear, that we feel very confident about booking in the second half of the year. And the oil and gas market, as we outlined in the IMS, has remained resilient. So the net of all of it is, yes, it's quite a lumpy business. We expect the first half impact will have a margin impact in that business of probably about 4 percentage points. In Hydronic, we are hugely excited with the new product range. I've got Peter with me, and I'll hand over to him shortly. But they were really well received at the ISH trade show, which is the biggest show that we would participate in the year. Peter and his team are really confident about the impact it will have. Last year, new products represented about $13 million of revenue on an annualized basis. This year, we expect it to be $23 million. So the delta is about $10 million in absolute terms in terms of revenue growth in the second half of the year. Pete, did you want to say anything more on the product side?
Well, morning, Nick. The good news on the new products is they go across our entire product range, whether it's the wholesale business or the project business. And the seasonality brings it all to the second half. And I will stress some of those products that we've launched that really bring our what was a tired product range up to date. Some of them step ahead of the competition, and some of them are really quite revolutionary. I can tell you, for example, the new Eclipse product that we launched at the ISH trade show that Mark was talking about. We took orders for 57,000 units in Croatia the other day. But incredible excitement, and it's all going to come through in the second half because that's the seasonality of our business.
Great. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Alistair Leslie. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I was wondering if you could quantify the year-on-year order development in terms of orders in critical engineering and maybe some more detail across the various end markets. I think that's something you've historically given. And just specifically whether you've seen still a positive development in the aftermarket there. And then also just a follow-up question on precision engineering. You gave the sequential month-by-month development for Europe. I was just wondering whether you could do the same for for North America, and perhaps just comment on whether you've seen a pickup in April and maybe into the start of May. Thanks.
Yeah, Alistair, look, a little difficult being it's just the first quarter, and as you know, in critical, it is a very, very lumpy business. I can tell you that the oil and gas market generally has been resilient. We're fortunate. We laid out in February that of our order book, about $124 million of that was related to oil and gas. Most of that was related to the LNG and the less cyclical piece of it, and it's continued to be resilient in the first half of the year. Nuclear market is down substantially. We expected that. You know, as we've outlined in the announcement, we have taken actions with IMI Components here in the UK to close out that enrichment business that we've got. And there are opportunities to consolidate some of the work that we do in terms of nuclear in Europe, and we'll be doing that in the second half of the year. So I think our response to the nuclear market softness is that we can take some costs down. But doing that, we've got to absolutely maintain our engineering capability, Alistair, because, you know, that's the key component. And, you know, we'll be making sure that we protect that as we move forward. I think month to month in terms of precision, I was able to outline what was going on in continental Europe. Certainly in the US, you know, we've seen a reasonable amount of resilience month to month. Certainly in the commercial vehicle market, it's been strong. And I think component shortages is the thing that's holding back the build rates in US commercial vehicle at the moment. Industrial automation has probably been the area that has been, you know, a little softer, and the area that's been a bit more volatile. And again, a bit like Europe, we've seen strengths in some months and then a softening elsewhere. Bit of destocking's taken place at the distributors. But the net of all of it, it's very difficult in just a quarter to read that to anything more than, you know, the movements in the market generally. So, Alistair, I hope that answers your questions.
It does. I was just wondering a quick follow-up. I think you've mentioned oil and gas, but I think you tend to report Petrochem separately. So I was just wondering if you had any comments on that business segment as well. Thanks.
Yeah, look, the Petrochem market, and certainly in terms of our order book, has been very resilient in the first quarter. But again, you know, again, it is quite lumpy. So taking a quarter in anything in terms of critical is quite difficult, Alistair. We'll be better equipped to be able to give you a trend when we get to the half year.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Hearn. Please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. Just a couple of questions for me. Just following on from Alistair, I'll just sort of finish it off and just talk a little bit in terms of critical, what you're seeing in fossil power. Obviously, that has been an area of weakness for you previously. That was the first question. And the second question was just on in Hydronic. Obviously, you're seeing an impact on the margins from the inventory reduction. How much further does that have to run, and can you quantify what the impact on the margin from that is, please? Thanks.
Sure. Look, in terms of fossil power, again, Jonathan, it is a very lumpy business, as you know, in terms of its order intake. I can tell you that there are a number of projects that are in the pipeline. As I mentioned, China, in terms of nuclear, is you know, starting to look pretty encouraging in terms of their approvals and what could be order placement in the second half of the year. Fossil, in a similar vein, you know, there's a lot of pent-up demand and activity right across the board. It is lumpy, so it's very difficult to give you any further indication, really, in terms of the first quarter. But my hope, Jonathan, by the time we get to the half year, we can put a bit more traction around all of that in terms of trends. I think in Hydronic, you know, taking a look at that business, we took about a $3 million cost in the second half of last year, reduced our inventories almost 10%, and that's the application of lean, bringing down batch sizes and implementing Kanbans to that business. At the same time, our on-time delivery went from 82% to 90%, which is a key measurable of making sure that those lean processes are working. You know, Pete has in his sights to bring it down, you know, a further 10%, so there could be a delta of $3 million in terms of second half costs. We encourage him to keep going with his inventory reductions because, you know, bringing the inventories down, getting his batch sizes lower, and being more responsive to customers, all of that is about, you know, improving the business. Now, that's a pretty ambitious target, I've got to be honest. So it's going to be somewhere between, you know, nothing and $3 million at the year end. You know, he'll have won a watch if it's three. We'll be a bit disappointed if it's nothing.
Sure. And just one follow-up. I may have missed it, but just in terms of critical and where are you seeing those project delays? Which segment are those coming through in, please?
Yeah, look, it's really, you know, a couple of things there, Jonathan. You're probably aware that in critical, we shipped about $100 million of product in the last month of last year. So it is lumpy, and customers can hold back their approvals, and they can push, you know, they can push their paperwork requirements out a wee bit. We've just seen a bit of that creeping into the first quarter, and, you know, there's not been any cancellation of any significance. The only reason we flag that is because that does give us an under-recovery issue when we do get, you know, less work going through the factories. And the second piece of it, if in the final quarter of the year we see these continued, you know, delays, it could push some of the final order book, you know, into 2016. So that's really the two issues that we were flagging there, Jonathan.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Stephen Swanton. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. I had two questions. One is, can you tell us how the aftermarket in critical engineering performed in Q1? And the second question is on the hydronics. And I appreciate there's new products coming through, but the tick up in growth you've seen from kind of -2 to +2, it looks like a little bit more than just the new products and that the end markets might have firmed up a bit. And I was just wondering if you can give some help on that.
Yeah, sure. Look, I'll take the aftermarket one, then hand over to Pete to talk on hydronics. Stephen, again, it's really only a quarter, so it's hard to give any definition. We've seen a bit of a softer oil and gas aftermarket, but, you know, from month to month, it does move around a wee bit. I wouldn't take that as a trend of any significance. Similarly, we've seen in terms of the nuclear spares piece of it, it's dropped off at about the same rate that we've seen of the original equipment, and you'd expect that to take place. Fossil's been about there or thereabouts, and the margins in the aftermarket have continued to be, you know, equivalently strong as they were this time last year. So generally, a bit early to give you anything much of a trend, but I hope that gives you a bit of a feel for it, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you.
Regarding the markets, this quarter versus the quarter last year, actually we see pretty similar. The drop-off came in the subsequent three quarters. So now all the growth in the first quarter has come from new products and a little bit more. So we're very optimistic. If the markets just hold firm for the rest of the year, the product benefits are going to show through.
Great. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question or make a comment. That's star and one to ask a question or make a comment. And your next question comes from the line of Glenn Liddy. Please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. For the hydronics business, that's got significant manufacturing in Switzerland. What are you able to do to mitigate the challenge from currency?
Okay. Good morning, Glenn. We saw a competitive tension in the Swiss manufacturing. We don't have a big manufacturing presence in Switzerland, but the impact of it was about £1 million that we had to give away in price to remain competitive from the base. We've taken action to downsize and reduce the headcount in Switzerland, which will give us a full year benefit of about £1.8 million. That was announced about 6 weeks ago. So we expect that to be neutral this year and not have any impact on us at all, but next year we'll see some benefit as a result.
And just to clarify that, Glenn, we've got operations in Poland, which has allowed you know, Peter to react quite quickly from the impact and move business to a more cost-competitive environment, which gave him a bit of upside in the second half of the year.
Thank you. Also, your hydronics business is obviously feeling the benefit of your investment in new products relatively quickly. Could you give us an idea how it's progressing in the other businesses, the investment in new products?
Yeah, Glenn, good question. Precision is the one that you start to see, you know, some of the new product work coming through. As you're probably aware, we're still working through the industrial automation five-year planning process on a region-by-region basis, but that is coming to a conclusion. I'm very pleased to say that a new product that we launched, the Phoenix Valve, particularly for commercial vehicle applications, has already had some real success. And I'll be able to announce a major CV order behind that, I expect, when we come to the market in July. But the new products, you know, we let and asked Peter and his hydronics division to take the lead in customer teardowns and understanding, competitive environment and putting in a new advanced quality process. That's been very successful in his division. We're now replicating that in Precision, and I think in the second half of the year you'll see a substantial, acceleration of the new product development process coming out of Precision. And in the critical engineering piece, of course, it's lumpier, but there's some great new stuff coming through Roy's world as well. And again, we'll be able to point to some of those new innovations and the longer term prospects of those innovations when we come to the market in July.
Okay. Finally, I mean, with the full year results, you were mentioning the investment in IT. Is that actually causing any disruption or any need to hold extra inventory whilst systems are changed?
Look, it's in its own right, it's a very necessary thing for us to do, Glenn. We've got a new system, JD Edwards, which is going, it's now live in Brazil in Precision. It goes live in five companies in the US during the course of this year. As part of putting in these new IT implementations, of course, you've got to get all of your accounts and everything else cleaned as best you can. We took about a $750K once-off cost in the first quarter in Precision to clean up those accounts and get them ready for JD Edwards implementation in the US. I'm happy to say that we went live in Critical with their IFS system just last night, and we've had no impact in the business as a result of that, so really pleased that's on track and on budget. And in Hydronics, it's the second half of this year that their implementation starts to work, but we're not expecting any significant issues one way or the other. But it's a huge, huge amount of work. It's a great amount of management attention that goes into bringing these on, Glenn, but I'd have to say they've been the smoothest implementation that I've been associated with, you know, in the time that I've been running industrial companies.
Great. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Blogg. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I just ask you about raw material input costs? Are there any issues around the piece that we should be aware of where you've had benefits that you haven't had to pass on to customers, please?
Yeah, how are you, Michael? You know, taking a look at the raw material piece of the puzzle, as you're aware, we've got a major program at the moment of reducing the number of SKUs, particularly in Precision. That also gives us the ability to look at our supply base and leverage those areas. So, Michael, I'm pleased to say 153,000 SKUs came out of the system in Precision in the first quarter. That has allowed us to consolidate the supply base in a number of areas, and it's provided us with some leverage in terms of pricing. Because we've got so much inventory, and one of the things we're working on through Lean, you don't see the impact of those price improvements, for some delayed time. So my expectation is we'll start to see some benefits in terms of purchase prices that'll start to feed through probably the last quarter of the year. But the other thing, obviously, that we're working on hard is to ensure that wherever we have pricing pressures, particularly in terms of the Swiss franc, that we're using all of the leverage we can to offset that. But the Swiss franc did have an impact, particularly in some commercial vehicle components that are specified to Swiss sources, and we've had to go back to customers and see if we can get recovery of that, Michael.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Harry Phillips. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everyone. Just a continuation of that, please, in terms of pricing. What are you seeing, and are the slippages in Critical enabling the customers to come back on price and try to lower them, please?
Thanks, Harry. In terms of the pricing, well, you know, it's near impossible at the moment to get price increases through, but we would have expected that, and we certainly didn't estimate in our forecast that we would see much in the way of price increases this year. We're not being chipped away by our critical customers. The net of all of it is we play in a market where you know, the critical nature of what we produce really means that, you know, we're not going to compromise on quality, we won't compromise on specification, and that means the prices kind of are what they are. So, you know, net of all of it is we're not seeing a deterioration in margins coming through as a result of pricing in any one of the sectors at the moment, probably with the exception, as Peter mentioned, where he had to adjust his pricings to be competitive because of the Swiss franc, and he's offset that by moving business into Poland.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Harry.
Your next question comes from the line of Alex Toms. Please ask your question.
Morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Just the first one, Mark, there seems to be, you know, obviously there's a structural element to some, you know, costs being put into the business in terms of product development and IT and things like that, and they will stay in the business. There also seems to be an element of kind of one-off costs I suspect you're taking above the line, things like restructuring, I suspect some dual operating costs with some IT and moving some plants, some cleaned accounts, some FX moves, all those sort of things. Is it possible to quantify what those kind of one-off above-the-line items are in total? Is it kind of tens of basis points? Is it hundreds of basis points this year?
Alex, good questions. In fact, my chairman was looking for me to make sure that when I come to the market in July, you know, I'm clear with people what those once-off were, what the product development costs. Alex, this is very much in line with the five-year plan that we outlined, and we are on track with that, albeit the economic winds, you know, we would wish they were a bit stronger than they are. But the net of all of it is we said this year was a year of investing, getting the foundation strong, getting our new product development processes working well, getting our IT infrastructure sorted out, and all those costs are being incurred. And, you know, I've said to my team, you know, despite the economic headwinds, you know, we need to continue to work through those because the market would be none too pleased if during these years of hard work that we're putting in to get the foundation strong and to build our competitive base, we don't show the progress that's expected. But we will try and give a better view on that when we come to the market in July. But I can tell you the costs are reasonably significant. You know, the once-off costs that we hadn't expected this year in terms of precision is the delta in terms of Brazil. That's been about a $1.5 million cost in the first quarter. You know, and as I said, we're downsizing the labor force as a consequence of that. We're committed to Brazil for the long term. It's an important part of our CV portfolio, but clearly we can't run at losses for any length of time, and we'll bring it to a cash and profit neutral position in the second half of the year. The IT systems going into the US, particularly in Precision, I mentioned in the February outline that Precision had particularly weak IT systems. You know, I would have preferred not to have incurred the $750K to clean up prior period accounting, but, you know, those sorts of things happen as you put in IT systems, so they are once-off as well. You know, Roy will take some once-off costs to do some further consolidation, I expect, in the nuclear assets we have in Europe. But, look, I'll outline those, Alex, all as part of our presentation in July.
Okay. And then another question on FX. Obviously, pounds been winging around recently, and that I think that 3% guidance is in line with what you were saying in March. Would the headwind be slightly better now if I look at today's spot rates?
Yeah, look, if you ran it as at yesterday, and it moves around all over the place, but if you ran it as at yesterday, that'd be 2 and 2 on the revenue line and 2 on the profit line.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alex.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Mountsey. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. In terms of the strategic review and really the targets you've got, I think it's a doubling of profit over the period. Obviously, originally, I think half organic, half inorganic. I think you've already commented that the end market backdrop probably isn't what we'd all hope it would be. So that's a drag, I guess, on the organic side at the moment. Is there maybe a possibility of making the inorganic side a larger part of the story? And also, could you give us an update on kind of thoughts around, you know, is it still precision and where the most of the delta on inorganic will come from, and what's the timeline as you see it at the moment for a deal, a significant deal happening?
Yeah, Jonathan, so some good questions. You know, the five-year plan was pretty clear in terms of its outline. We had said that right now we can take on bolt-ons in critical. You know, Roy's team has the bandwidth and the capabilities to do them well and execute well. And as you're aware, we took on Bopp and Reuter last year, and a couple more of that size would be of huge interest to us. We are seeing some lower expectations starting to develop in some of the oil and gas assets, but we're very, very selective, Jonathan, as to what we would take on. So really the net of all of that is during the course of this year and next year, we're really talking about bolt-ons in critical engineering of about a Bopp and Reuter size. If the great opportunity came up in the hydronics business, you know, clearly we would grab it, but we're very, very selective as to what we would do there. The larger acquisition profile for us is in precision, and we've outlined that we need to get healthy first, and that's going to be 2015 hard work, 2016 hard work, and the business should be ready to take on a major acquisition in 2017. So that's the profile we're looking at, Jonathan. We've said about 50% of the improvement will come through organic, and 50% of it would come through acquisitions. You know, it is interesting if you take a look at the economic profiles and headwinds we're seeing. Interesting to note that the oil price is 33% higher today than it was when we talked to the market in February. And I'm a bit older than you, Jonathan, so, you know, you see these things up and down all over the place. You know, we've assumed within our plans, you know, a broadly flat economic outline, no great shakes upwards or downwards. And as a consequence of that, you know, the five-year plan is still on track.
Your next question comes from the line of Dom Convey. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gents. I think you made it very clear that profits in the current year will be more H2 biased than normally the case. I just wonder if you could give a bit of colour just how pronounced you anticipate the H2 EBIT split will be this year. And I suppose as part of that, what assumptions exactly you're making around this risk that some of the critical engineering shipments do slip into 2016? Thanks.
Yeah, Dom, a good question. Thanks for asking it. You know, in terms of the critical piece, you know, we outlined in February, because of the order profile last year, 10% down in the first half, 16% up in the second half, that we were clearly going to see, you know, a second half bias to, and we have seen that traditionally, a 55-45 basis in terms of second half, first half. That will be more prevalent this year, and certainly Roy's margins in the first half, I expect they'll be down about 4% against the prior year. And in the full year, they'll bounce back to, you know, equivalent levels that we saw, you know, in last year. If there is, you know, as I mentioned, they did $100 million of revenue in the last month of last year. If there is some delay, some of that will kick into 2016. Now, you know, we're not flagging that we're close enough to it. We won't know in really till the third quarter whether there's any likelihood of that happening. But as a cautionary note, we just gave that to piece of information. I think in precision, clearly we're doing a hell of a lot this year. We've got the once-off in Brazil. We've got the IT systems that are going in. Very strong commercial vehicles, both in North America and Europe, and that has affected margins in the first half. I'd expect year-to-year they're probably 2% differential in the first half of 2015 versus 2014. Second half, you know, there is a stronger outlook in terms of both the margin, and we do get some stronger seasonality in the second half of the year in precision. So you're going to see a stronger performance out of precision, certainly in the second half, than you saw in the first because of those regions. And in Peter's business, it's always been somewhat second half cyclical because of the weather patterns that he needs in order to spur his order book. So it will be more predominant in the second half this year than it was in the second half last year, I think, Dom, in terms of the profile of outlook.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Simon, I think with that probably covers off all the questions that are there. I would thank everybody for taking the time and being available on the call. And, you know, I know that we've got a large number coming out to see our factories in the Czech Republic in June. Really look forward to showing you what we're doing both in a critical business and also in a precision business while we're there. And we'll be happy to close off there. So thank you very much, Simon. Thank you, everybody, for sitting in on the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for this morning. Thank you very much for your participation. You may all disconnect.